Can everybody hear me? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Welcome. I'm going to pray. Jesus, thank you for being here. Welcome. Jesus, please empower us to receive your word in your name and in your strength, I pray. Amen. Today, somebody here or there needs to know that they are seen by God. For days, the whole last week, I was working on preparing a sermon, the title of which you will find on Facebook and YouTube and in the announcements. And I did. I prepared a sermon, but then Friday night, I felt like that wasn't the sermon. And I kept hearing that somebody needs to know that they are seen by God. So at the 11th hour, this is what came. God sees you. This is what the compassion of God looks like. God looks, God sees, God notices, God rescues. My text today is from Luke 8. We're going back. Harvey was in Luke 19. We're going back to Luke 8, verses 40 through 56. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Can you picture the scene? Jesus, fresh from his trip across the lake, having just delivered a man from 100 demons, has returned to Capernaum. He's become a celebrity there of sorts. He's taught in the synagogue with wisdom and authority. He's freed people from demonic oppression and healed hordes of people from illnesses as simple as fever and as horrific as leprosy. He's being mobbed by people who need his help. I think I would have been in that crowd trying to touch him. Jairus, a synagogue leader, has the audacity, born of desperation, to beg Jesus to come to his house away from the crowd. His little girl is dying. In spite of the press of the crowd, Jesus sees Jairus. Jesus hears Jairus and goes to his aid. Meanwhile, unseen and fearful, trembling, a woman made just as bold as Jairus by her own desperation, crept up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, hoping for healing. She was unclean due to her particular illness, unclean and unable to participate in the religious and social life of her community. Marginalized by law and tradition, to touch the robe of a rabbi would be to pollute him. That's why she had to be sneaky about it. Jairus could ask Jesus for help face to face, but she couldn't. That's why what Jesus does next is so breathtaking. Jesus, a man, a rabbi with a very large following and impressive resume, en route to the home of the synagogue leader, also a very important man in the community. Jesus, who by tradition should have yanked his garment out of her hand and then gone to perform a ritual of cleansing. Jesus, who was on his way to the home of a gatekeeper of the synagogue, who would have shut that gate in her face. This Jesus noticed her. This Jesus turned and saw her. He called her out, not to shame her, but to restore her dignity. He praised her in front of the whole crowd. In front of Jairus, he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Jesus didn't say, "I have healed you." He said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." He honored her. He honored her in such a way that now there could be no question about her re-entry into community life, including the synagogue. The interaction of Jesus with this woman reminds me of another interaction between a frightened, tearful female outcast and God that took place way back in Genesis chapter 16. Hagar, the Egyptian slave. She had been abused by Abraham and Sarah in their misguided quest to fulfill God's promise without God's help. When Sarah learned that Hagar was pregnant, she added jealousy to her sins by kicking Hagar out of the camp and the community to fend for herself. And Abraham went along with the plan. This was a death sentence for Hagar and her unborn child. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? Where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." God rescued Hagar and restored her to the community from which she had been barred. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Over and over in the Gospel of Luke, we see the compassion of Jesus restoring dignity to people who had been marginalized by society. Women, children, poor, Gentile, demonized, despised, sick, the unclean and unseen. He didn't see these people as unclean and outcast. He saw them as people made in God's image. He saw them. God sees you. I'm going to borrow from our Colossians Bible study. The women who have been attending will recognize these verses. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We read the Gospels to get to know Jesus. Everything we need to know about the character of God is wrapped up in Jesus. And we, who are made in God's image, can continue in his mission to remind all people how much God loves and values them. Dallas Willard said, "Jesus did not call us to do what he did, but to be as he was. Then, permeated with love, then the doing of what he did and said becomes the natural expression of who we are in him." Returning to our passage from Luke, Jesus had stopped and turned and healed the woman, restoring her dignity. Did he forget Jairus? While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus. "Your daughter's dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, Jairus. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead. She's asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. He's very practical. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Not only did Jesus not forget Jairus, he also saw his fear and addressed it with compassion. Jairus, the synagogue leader, Jairus, the person with power and influence, he had no power or influence over death. But Jesus did. Jesus still does. And even now, we know where the gospel is being proclaimed when we see people who are clothing themselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where we see love in action through forgiveness and generosity and works of healing. People dressed like this should not be surprised if they feel people tugging on their sleeves and coattails. Each of us will have voices calling us to their aid and the quiet tugs from behind that we might miss if we're in too much of a hurry. Don't ignore the voice of the Jairuses in your life, the calls to a cause or a rescue or for a prayer for an urgent need. The voice is raised to call out obvious needs that you may be specifically designed to meet. But also, don't go so fast that you ignore the quiet tug, the outstretched hand you might not see if you don't stop and turn. This may be a family member, a neighbor, maybe a person you see every day, but you've never stopped to get to know them, greet them, know their name, ask how they're doing. Perhaps it's the person that you don't see because they don't belong to your church or religion or political party or age demographic or friend or family group. If you are wearing Christ, if you have put on love, you are wearing a very comfortable, breathable garment. You can flex and turn. God has brought you to this moment and this day, not so that you can notice and rescue everyone, but so you can notice and bless someone. The one in front of you and the one behind you. The ones on your path. We're part of a community of Christ wearers, each with our own way of hearing and seeing the needs around us. God has given you the eyes to see what God sees. All you have to do is focus. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, there is a story of a king of Judah named Asa. Asa felt he had to work out how to rescue Judah from an opposing army. And so he contracted with another army, as one does, for help instead of relying on God, as one can do. But that was a mistake. Don't be like Asa, leaning on your own understanding about who you should or shouldn't help or see. Asa lost that battle. The prophet Hananiah explained to Asa that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If there's someone or something that you need to see, God will bring clarity and help you know how you should engage. All you need to concentrate on is walking with Jesus, dressed like him. So I just want to pause for a moment and ask you to close your eyes, listen. Ask God, is there someone or something that I need to attend to? Is there someone behind me that I haven't noticed that I need to pay attention to? Is there someone in front of me that I don't think I'm strong enough to help? One morning, on my way to work, I experienced what's become for me a powerful metaphor for living out the compassion of God in this way. There was a broken goldfinch in the middle of the road at a busy intersection. It was a bright, crumpled patch of sunlight and feathers about to be ground into the pavement by oblivious drivers. My heart was heavy seeing that little bird. At the stop sign, I looked in my rearview mirror. There were no cars behind me. So nervously, I reversed the car. I put on my flashers and got out. Cars on the other side of the intersection began to queue up, and I felt a little embarrassed about stopping for a dead bird. The broken bird looked pitiful there in the middle of the road as I stooped to lift him gently from where he lay. A car came up behind me and my embarrassment intensified. But just as I was about to scoop him up, the goldfinch flew away. He had only been stunned. Perhaps he had flown into a vehicle and been left for dead in the road. He sure looked dead, his head and wings all at strange angles. So thankful that I had seen him, So thankful that I had stopped, I got back into the car and continued my way to work. Wow, what if I hadn't stopped? The goldfinch would have been run over by somebody else. I had come along at just the right time. At just the right time, God saw us broken on the highway. We were doomed to be crushed, unable to save ourselves. God saw us, and God stopped so that we might live. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God sees you. Amen.